All right, hello everyone. I hope that you guys have all had a blessed Holy Week so far, and you've had a beneficial Lent. Now tonight, as I start my talk, I'm gonna make a quick disclaimer. If I make a lot of references, please forgive me. But I think it's important for us to look at people that have found success in their spiritual life, so that that way we can find success in ours. Because probably if you just listened only to my words, it'd probably be a bit difficult for you to benefit. So Lent for many of us, it's a period of spiritual highs where we focus a lot on guarding ourselves from temptations, protecting our hearts and our minds, much more significantly than we do throughout the rest of the year. And now, just because Lent and Holy Week is coming to its end, and we've had this period of spiritual high, does not mean that it's going to continue once it's done. And with that said, we don't want to lose anything that we've gained throughout this time. Now, there's a saint, his name is Saint Hezekiah the priest. He's a father from the 5th century, and he says that just as a man, being blind from birth, does not see the sun's light, so is the one who fails to pursue watchfulness, does not see the rich radiance of divine grace. I'll say it one more time. He says, just as a man, being blind from birth, does not see the sun's light, so is the one who fails to pursue watchfulness, does not see the rich radiance of divine grace. Now, being watchful is the most important thing that we can do for our spiritual life, to see and experience God's grace in all things. In the Gospel of Mark tonight, we read of Judas's betrayal of Christ, or it says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And we know that in this moment, Judas was not watchful over his heart, and he fell and he betrayed Christ for his love of money, for his passions, and for his greed. Now, watchfulness is a spiritual method that, if continuously practiced over a long period, frees us from impassioned thoughts, words, and actions. But in its truest sense, it is purity of heart. And we know that it's a blessed state by Christ when he says in Matthew 5 that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So in my talk tonight, I want to discuss a few main points surrounding the idea of watchfulness. The first point is going to be purity of heart. The second is how we stumble. And the third is how to be watchful. So regarding the purity of heart, our hearts should be something that is considered extremely precious to us, and we should take great care of it. If you guys take your phones, for example, when you order a phone or when you buy a phone, the very first thing that you do, before you even get the phone, you order a case and you order a screen protector, and God forbid any water, dirt, or food gets on the phone, we freak out and we have to clean it immediately and make it brand new again. Meanwhile, and if I were to open up one of your phones, go into the settings and look at the screen time, and look at all your apps, I might be able to understand just a little bit about what you would consider as important and what you would probably hold a little dear to your heart. Now, with that being said, we probably take less care of our hearts than we do with our phone. And we need to be much more diligent about taking care of our hearts and keeping them pure. Now, most of you, I'm assuming, would probably use an Orthodox study Bible. And if you go to the part of to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, where it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the commentary, it says that the pure in heart are completely devoted to the worship and service of God. When the soul's only desire is God and a person's will holds to this desire, then that person will see God everywhere. And oftentimes, in today's world, it can be very difficult to see God in everything and to remain faithful to Him. And our lack of faithfulness to God can often be caused by many things that we see and experience in our daily life. Now, there is a book that I was reading throughout Lent. It's called How to Live a Holy Life. It's written by Metropolitan Gregory Posnikov. He's a leading bishop of the 19th century. in the Russian Orthodox Church. And in this book, every chapter is a reference to how we should conduct ourselves in our daily life, whether that's in the morning or at meals, in wealth or in poverty. And he provides what I would consider to be a very straightforward view on living a watchful life. In one of the chapters titled, How to Protect Ourselves from Harmful Effects of Bad Examples, he talks about how we're constantly surrounded by bad examples, sins and temptations, and that oftentimes people don't know that what they're doing is wrong. And he goes on and he says that in all occurrences of bad examples, we need to look immediately to Jesus Christ, who has the full right to demand that we follow his example, and then look to the millions of people who had previously been more or less sinners like us, and then became holy in Christ and worthy of imitation by their imitation of his life. So every day we're surrounded by people or things or bad examples that can stain our dirty our pure hearts. And when this happens, we need to look immediately to Christ. A simpler way of saying it would have just been referencing 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And if we are to imitate Christ, then we are for sure going to be able to keep a pure heart. Now, what causes us to stumble, and how do we lose this purity of heart? You might be thinking that the answer is very straightforward, and the answer is sin and temptation. Falling to sin and temptation is what causes us to lose this purity of heart. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against demonic principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the celestial regions. And from this we learn that truly, temptations and attacks that are brought on us are not of this world, they're not the physical things, but that they're demonic principalities. And they might tempt us with things that are physical, but the fall that we experience is a spiritual fall. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be watchful and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Stand against him steadfast in faith. So this is a direct command from St. Peter telling us to be watchful. And if we are to fall to these demonic principalities, then we will truly and completely betray Christ. Now, sin enters into our hearts through our senses, and it develops through our thoughts. So being watchful, it teaches us how to keep a firm guard over our senses through what we see, what we hear, and what we feel. It's important to remember that our senses were made to give glory to God, and that if used improperly, then we betray him. And if we allow sin to grow within us, it brings forth death. We need to guard and protect our hearts and our minds and our senses, and when an impure thought crosses our minds, we need to get rid of it immediately. And many times there can be underlying sins and temptations that we're not necessarily paying attention to. Father Tedros Meleti tells a story, he says, of a wealthy woman. And this woman went to confess to him of a very trivial sin. She, for a long time, made a promise to herself that she would never commit three specific sins. She would never lie, regardless of the circumstances. She would never steal because she was blessed to be wealthy. And she would never commit adultery. Now she tells Abuna when she goes to confess to him, and she tells him, Abuna, I went to the store one day and I pocketed an item that was probably only worth about $1. And I put it in my purse and I walked away and I took it from the store. But she felt so bad that she went back to the store, returned it, and put it exactly where it was. Thankfully, it doesn't say whether she was caught or not at all. So then Abuna, listening to her story, he asks her a question and he says, are you crying because you committed the sin? Or are you crying because you've wounded your pride, even though no one else knows that you committed the sin? And when I heard this, I was like, this is an extremely deep thought and deep quote that a lot of the times we don't consider these underlying sins, the wound to her pride. She answers and she says, you know, it's her pride that she's upset by. And he tells her that sin should never be taken lightly, especially when we are weak, and we can only conquer it through God before we get separated from Him, which is why we need to have our guard up at all times. Now, how can we be watchful? What does it mean to be watchful, and how do we do it? Now, in the beginning, I mentioned the Gospel of Mark that we read tonight, of Judas betraying Christ. But if we look in the Gospel of Matthew, and we get a little bit more detail about this betrayal. In Matthew 26, it says, "Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.'" And if we continue on within that same chapter, Peter goes on and he says, Jesus asked the question, Peter answered and said to him, "That even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Which is ironic, because we all know that later on Friday, he goes and he denies Christ three times and he betrays him. Now, the reason I bring that both of these up, both these instances of betrayal, is for one, Peter's betrayal almost actually, for me, it kind of not caught me off guard per se, but when you think about him saying, "I will never be made to stumble," it's almost like kind of that underlying sin that I was just talking about. He, in that moment, he fell into the sin of pride. He thought that he was better, that he would never be able to stumble and fall. But being human, we all fall. Now, how do I become watchful? How do I avoid these underlying sins and all of these bad examples? I think it requires three things. One, an assessment of your heart and an assessment of your relationship with God. It requires subjecting the body. And it requires, most importantly, discipline in like morning vigils. I believe that it's important for us to revisit and conduct a thorough assessment of our relationship with God, as well as an inward assessment of ourselves. Saint Hezekiah, the one I mentioned earlier, he gives this example. He says, "Just as someone is in the midst of a crowd, holding a mirror and looking at it, does not only see his own face, but also the faces of those looking in the mirror with him. So is the same with someone who looks into his own heart, sees not only his own state, but all of the countless unclean spirits within him." Which, in a sense, it's kind of similar to the example that I gave earlier about the phones and checking your screen time. So we need to do an inward assessment of ourselves and really be honest with ourselves. What are our flaws? What are things that we can work on? And if we look at the example of Judas, right, that was given to us in the Gospel of Matthew, I'll read it one more time because I don't know if all of you caught this, but it says, "Now as we were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.'" Now, if you read this portion and try to analyze it a little, you might notice multiple things. That all of the disciples, or at least most, were exceedingly sorrowful, right? They were upset and concerned that someone would betray him. Second, they all said and answered, "Lord, is it I?" But the biggest difference here is with Judas, is that he didn't say, "Lord." He said, "Rabbi, is it I?" Now, St. Jerome, he goes on and he says, in this regarding this portion of Matthew, he says that Judas says rabbi as in teacher, not Lord. He doesn't acknowledge him as a Lord and Savior, but only as a rabbi. And while sure, rabbis during the time are people of high regard and high esteem, and they're very important, but God knows how many rabbis there were at that time, right? There's countless. So when you call him Lord, it has a different gravity, a different weight, a different meaning to it when you're talking about your one and only Savior. It's as if Judas is giving himself an excuse to say that he's not betraying the Lord, his Savior. He's betraying only a teacher and only a rabbi. So this is why I say we need to conduct an assessment of our relationship with God. It's important for us to know whether our relationship with him is one that is true, and it's a loving relationship, that we want to pursue him in everything that we do, or are we only looking to him as a teacher instead of our Lord? Now the next part is subjecting the body. Saint Mercurius has a story of him and a prince at his monastery, where a prince goes to him with a big bag of money and wants to donate this money to the monastery. And Saint Mercurius tells him, no, it's okay, you know, we don't need the money, we have everything we have, we need. And the guy keeps insisting and insisting, and Saint Mercurius keeps turning him away, and he says, go and speak to the other monks, if they need anything, you know, let them take. So the guy goes around, finds whoever he finds, and everyone turns him away. And he goes back to Saint Mercurius, and Saint Mercurius is obviously very happy. He's like, I'm very happy, you know, I'm very glad no one took anything. But the guy is still not being satisfied. He goes to the main building, he goes to the church, and he dumps out all the money in the front, and he rings the bell of the monastery. For those of you that don't know, the bell pretty much means everyone, come, gather together. So out of nowhere, he's ringing the bell, and 2,400 monks come out of the desert and start gathering at the church. And as they're piling in, they see there's this big pile of money by the door, and not a single one of them acknowledges it. And the guy makes his announcement, and he says, you know, guys, if you need anything, please feel free, take the money. It's for you, it's a donation. He finishes his announcement, and everyone walks right back out, doesn't acknowledge the money, doesn't say anything to him, and they go back to their business. The guy, being so surprised, he went back, donated the money to the poor elsewhere outside of the monastery, and he came back to be a monk. So this is what I mean when I talk about subjecting the body, is that the monks are so disciplined that they wouldn't even acknowledge it, they wouldn't look at it, they wouldn't, you know, even be tempted by it. So when we talk about watchfulness, the biggest thing to remember is to be disciplined in the body. In Matthew 26, it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And watchfulness begins with our thoughts. And oftentimes when we wake up in the morning, our first words or our first thoughts can be complaints. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go to work, or I don't want to go to school. Right? So watchfulness begins in the morning and it continues throughout the entire day. And the last piece, which to me is very important, would be almost a morning vigil, in which we would take an account of what might happen in our day. See, look towards what's coming at us and throughout the rest of our day, and see how we can avoid these temptations. Going back to Metropolitan Gregory in his book, in the chapter on how to conduct ourselves in the morning, he says to try to examine your day, see what you're going to do, who you're going to spend time with, who you're going to meet, what occasions of good might you encounter, and what occasions of sin might you encounter. And when you do this, try to think it over thoroughly and see, you know, if I have a coworker today that I'm going to be working with and he really gets on my nerves, how am I going to do my best to maintain my patience or to not get angry? And he says that having examined everything in this way, try to think it overly, so in a way that will allow you to pass the whole day without sin. Because if we don't guard ourselves in this way, it's impossible for us, or at least extremely difficult, to protect ourselves from sin and to follow the Lord's teachings without faltering. So the three steps for watchfulness were to conduct an inward assessment of ourselves, to subject to the body in everything, and to be vigilant in the morning and throughout the entire day. Glory be to God forever. Amen.